Welcome to Church of Living Word, featuring Senior Pastor Audie Claremont.
We're living in the last days. I believe that. God is looking for a few good men and women that will sell out for Him. There's so much wishy-washy garbage in the church today that God is doing a purification and He's doing a cleansing even through the whole body of Christ. You know what God's doing? He's getting people ready for His coming. He's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. And people are either going to be in, sold out to God, or they're not going to be in. And there's no lukewarmness in the kingdom of God. But God is looking for people that will be disciples, true disciples of Him. And God wants to bring that into the body of Christ, an anointing to purify us, to get us ready for His coming. I believe that. I mean, how many has the Lord, you know, kind of just been dealing with your heart about different things. Things you used to get away with, you don't get away with anymore. I think it can be anything. It could be something simple. But God's putting His finger on it and says, no more, no more. He's challenging us to be all we can be for Christ. And so dare to be a disciple. God is looking for dedicated disciples. Disciple means a disciplined one. That's what it means. Your discipline. Now, I've read this over and over so many times, preached on it so many times, but every time I read these scriptures, I always get something new. Why? Revelation. God just keeps unfolding different things. But let's look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 are my key scriptures. And I'm preaching this today, people, not for any condemnation to anybody, because all of us sometimes fall short of God's glory. We do. We miss it. We don't do it right all the time. But I'm talking about something totally different, that God knows our hearts. He sees our hearts, and He knows our hearts. And He wants our hearts to be after Him. Not after the world or the things in the world, but God wants us, our heart to be after Him. And right now we're living in a time that there's so many distractions to pull God's people to the side. And we can't allow to be distracted. So let's look at this. Paul's writing this and he goes through all the book of Romans from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 12. And I'll share a little bit more about that. And then he gets to 12 and he goes, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Let me catch my breath. That's a mouthful. Talk about an awesome scripture. The men and women who make the biggest impact and bring the most influence on their generation are those that are dedicated and radical to the cause of God. We need to get radical for Jesus again. Now listen, when I'm talking about what I'm sharing with you today, I'm not talking about being stupid or not using wisdom or wearing a sandwich board on you and walking around. If you want to do it, go ahead. But I'm talking about something totally different. When I talk about radical Christianity, I'm talking about being sold out to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and saying, Lord, you're mine. I belong to you and you belong to me. And so God is looking for people. They are a danger. Disciples like that are a danger to Satan's schemes and plans. They cause a threat to the kingdom of God and to the kingdom of darkness. These are men and women who throw caution into the wind. They don't care what anybody else thinks. They just say, Lord, yes, Lord, here I am. What do you have for me to do? They risk their lives to advance the kingdom of God for the honor of Christ. It doesn't matter if you're reserved and humble or staunch or unflinching or passionate or focused. God is looking for men and women that will be dedicated, radical disciples for the cause of the kingdom. That's what God needs. That's what God's looking for. Although every dedicated disciple is unique, there's qualities that we can look at. Number one, write this down. A life surrendered on the altar of God's purpose. A life surrendered on the altar of God's purpose. You know what? I don't own my life. God does. He should. A life surrendered on the altar of God's purposes. Now I'm going to read the same verse in the Passion. It says, "Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God to be His sacred living sacrifices. And live in holiness." Now that one's going to stump you. You say, how do I live in holiness? Well, let me tell you what. It's the holiness of God inside of you. But you've got to let that holiness come through you and walk it out. Does that make sense? And we'll talk a little more about that. "And live in holiness, experiencing all that delights His heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship." So worship is pleasing God in every area of our life every day. And we'll talk more about that. Now, because of the mercy that God has given us, the picture of sacrifice should always be stamped on our heart as a dedicated radical disciple. Listen, we are called to be to a radical surrender of our agenda, our plans to the purposes of God. It's not about what I want. A true disciple, it's not about what I want. It's about, Lord, what do you want from me? And I think a lot of times it would be so much easier and we would struggle less if we would just surrender to God. I know so many people that just won't give it up to God because they're scared that's going to cost them. Well, yeah, it's going to cost you. But I'm going to tell you what, God's got something greater than you could ever imagine or dream. I used to be afraid to even pray to God about something because I was scared that I would have to do it. I was scared sometimes to pray and ask God for something because I thought, well, I don't know if I can do it. And I learned that God's not like that. Well, Lord, I don't know if I can do that. Well, you can't do it in your own power, but you can do it through me. And I begin to realize that the more you surrender to God, the easier it is to do what God's called you to do. So we are called to a radical surrender of our own agenda, our own plans, to God's purpose. Look at Proverbs 19:21. "Many plans are in the man's mind, but it is the Lord's purpose for him that will stand." God has a plan and a destiny for every person on the planet. Whether they fulfill that destiny is their choice. God's not going to make you serve Him. You can do what you want. You can live your own life and do your own thing. God will let you do it. But God is looking for people that will say, you know what, Lord, I'm tired. I can't do it anymore. I need you to do it. I need you to help me. I'm going to tell you what, I have never had so much freedom when I did that. I said, God, I don't know what to do. As a pastor, I just give up. I don't know what to do. But I'm just surrendering my life. I'm surrendering my heart. I'm surrendering my dreams. I'm surrendering my goals. I'm surrendering my plans. I'm surrendering my agenda. I'm surrendering everything that I think I need so that you can be God. I just give it up to you. Talk about freedom. The whole weight of the world just falls off. And you have that freedom. A living sacrifice dedicates his or her whole life to whatever God wants. And he has for them to do. Listen, it's only because of the mercy of God that we can have the motivation we need to attempt extraordinary things for God. It's only by his mercy. And that's why he started out in that verse, it's by the mercies of God that we can present our bodies a living sacrifice. It's not anything in myself, but it's because of God himself. Since we've been given the grace and mercy of God, we can present ourselves as living sacrifices before the very throne of God. Now, I looked up the word present, and it's very simple. It means to place beside or near. To present a person for another to see and question. Lord, I'm going to present myself to you. There's a lot of things in my life that God, I just give up to you. It means to bring into one's fellowship and intimacy. And that is when we go before the Lord and we just say, can you take me the way I am? Messed up, screwed up, did my whole life messed up, and present ourselves to God as his living sacrifice. The verb present is full of descriptions of Old Testament sacrificial practice. As worshipers would offer a prized lamb to the priest sacrifice, so we as God's people offer ourselves to the perfect high priest, Jesus Christ. The same way they did in the Old Testament, we do to our high priest, Jesus Christ. The sacrificial lamb could not have any blemishes, none at all, defects in order to be offered as a sacrifice to God. When Israel was leaving Egypt, God told them each to take a lamb without spot or blemish, bring it into the house, and just enough for them to eat the whole lamb. If they didn't eat the whole lamb, then they were to burn the rest of it. But to take that lamb without spot or blemish, which represents Jesus Christ, who became our lamb without spot or blemish. We've been unblemished. Listen, people, we've been made holy, acceptable to God because of the blood of Jesus. And it's only because of the blood, our pure sacrifice, that he took our place. I want you to see something here. When you gave your life to Jesus Christ and you surrendered your life to him, God's holiness came inside of you. Now, a lot of times people say, well, that's enough. I said the words. I said the prayer. No, no, no. It's more than words. It's a lifestyle. It's a living. It's who we are. It's something greater than ourselves that only God himself can do through us. When we've been made righteous and set apart for God, for Jesus, it's our duty as Christians to consecrate ourselves to God, serve one another in love, and walk in wisdom and holiness before the world we live in as living sacrifices. Now, when we look in Romans chapter 12 or chapter 11 all the way back, Paul talks about all that stuff. He talked about justification. Justification means to be made righteous. God made you righteous when he came into your life. Otherwise, you couldn't go before God into the Holy of Holies. It's only because of his righteousness and his blood that we can do that. See, positionally, I'm talking about something positionally when we gave our life to Jesus. And then he sanctified us. That means he set us apart for him. Now, we are to be set apart for him, people, to do what he wants us to do. Not only set apart, but we're set apart from the world, and we're set apart unto him. And so he justified us, he sanctified us, and now he's asking us to consecrate ourselves. Sanctification is something he does. Consecration is something we do. When God told Moses, tell the Israelites to consecrate themselves. They were already set apart for God, but they had to consecrate themselves, get their hearts right, get everything right, because Daddy's coming. Daddy's going to show up, and they needed to be ready for that holy God. And without holiness, no one's going to ever see God. But people, let me help you understand something. It's not our holiness, it's his. There's no way. It's because of what Jesus did. It's because he set us apart, and he wants us to consecrate ourselves to him so that we have all these things that he gave us. Now he says, now I want you to walk out who you are in me. His purpose takes importance over our plans, our purposes, and our goal. It's not about what I want. It's about, Lord, what do you want? I surrender my messed up life. I surrender this. I surrender that to you. And it's only God that can do anything about it anyway. He's just looking for a surrendered heart. Write this down. Number two, as a radical disciple, a spiritual transformation because of a mind being renewed. Sometimes we got some stinking thinking. Don't we? How many know your mind didn't get saved when you gave your life to the Lord? Your spirit did. The spirit man, your mind didn't. Your mind had to be renewed. Like I always say, my brains need a good scrubbing. And so does yours. But in order for us to be living sacrifices, there's got to be a change in our lives and a change in our heart. Now, I was looking at this morning, a spiritual transformation because of a mind being renewed. And a mind being renewed brings more spiritual transformation. Huh. So you can use it. Now, let's look at passion verse 2. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. You don't have to think like the world. It doesn't matter what they think like. It only matters what you think like. You know God wants you to think like him? Well, Pastor, that's so hard to do. God is God and I'm who I am. But he gives you the ability to think on his love letter. This is his love letter. This is his mind. This is him. When you start thinking like this, when people say that you'll never be healed and God says you've already been healed, whose report do we believe? So it says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. We got saved, but God says, I want to change your thinking because your thinking's defeating you. Wow. Do you know that our mind is a battlefield, and that is the first place that if you can get this under control and lined up with God's word and thinking about God's word and thinking instead of what the world tells you how to think, well, I don't think that way. Well, guess what? I don't think your way either because I serve a big God. I serve a big God. And my thinking's not like their thinking. Dedicated disciples think outside the box of worldly thinking. Totally outside. They choose not to follow the crowd by not walking in their worldly wisdom. The command to resist conformity to the popular existing culture that's around us of this day is a daily order for dedicated disciples. It's one of those things that someone's going to tell you one thing and you're going to say, no, that's what I believe. Well, you know what? You know, the world's doing this, and you should be following the world. No, God says do this, follow him. So you got to be different. You got to stand out. And you got to renew your mind by the word of God. James 4:7 says, so then surrender to God. Stand up to the devil and resist him, and he will turn and run away from you. I like that. So simple. In order to resist the devil, you got to surrender to God. I got tired of getting beat up. Finally, when I said, okay, Lord, I surrender to you. You take care of this. So now when the devil knocks on the door, I send Jesus to the door. You answer the door. I'm not answering that door anymore. I got messed up too many times. It says, so surrender to God. That's what God wants to do. Just lay our lives down. Surrender to him. Stand up to the devil. But you can't stand up against the devil if you're not surrendered to him. Why? Because he's your source. The Greek word rendered, conformity. The Bible says, King James, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word conformity refers to a blending into something else. Did you ever have somebody say, well, you're just not blending in? Yeah, I'm not going to blend in. I'm a changed person. I don't live that way anyway. I remember when I gave my life to the Lord, people wanted me to go back to the way I used to be. Right, Lorraine? They want you to party, get high, and do all those things like you used to do with them. And you're saying, nope, I'm a surrendered, I'm a living sacrifice, I'm laying on the altar of Jesus. They would look at you and say, you're totally crazy. Well, Claremont, we miss you, man. We used to party, get high together, and do all these things. I said, I just can't do it anymore. I don't want to. Well, why? Because I'm dead. Dead to what? I'm dead to this life and alive to God. Surrendered to God. So conformity means a blending into something else. We'll change it around. The Holy Spirit is focused on changing you, empowering you, conforming you, or blending you into the image of Jesus Christ, and helping you fulfill God's plan for your life. Listen, we're called to stand out and to make known the Savior rather than hide our devotion. It's time that Christians quit being scared. Come out and just let them know who you are. Let them know who you are. Have you ever had anybody come up to you and say, why are you so different? Something about you. How come you're smiling all the time? This world sucks and you're smiling. Because I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind, not thinking like you think, but thinking like Jesus thinks. I like his thoughts better. His thoughts are healing, victory, wholeness, gentleness, kindness, meekness, all the good stuff. I like that. Instead, the devil's the opposite, who wants to kill, steal, and destroy, and blame God. Like it's God's fault. Dedicated disciples testify to a life-changing transformation. Now, when I looked up the word transform, it's another word for metamorphosis, like a cocoon to a butterfly. It's transforming from one stage to another. So, it denotes metamorphosis from one stage of life to another, to change into another form. I'm not the same form I used to be. I remember I went back to my 20-year class reunion. Then I went back to my 30-year and I missed, was I ahead of enough, 40? Huh? We missed 30? No, we were at the 30. Yeah. Yeah, I missed the other one. Anyway, I'm going to this class reunion, and these are all my buddies from high school. And they heard through the grapevine that I was a preacher. They thought, So I go there, and some of them never changed. They just are still ornery and same people. But we had a good time, and we were sitting at a table, and all of a sudden they just began to ask questions. And a lot of these guys, some of them used to serve God and are not serving God today. And they'd ask what I'm doing. I said, well, I'm pastoring a church. And you're what? I'm pastoring a church. You mean you're a preacher? Yeah. Really? You? Yeah. I remember you when you used to do this. Yeah. And your point? Really? Well, that's cool. How many know what I'm talking about? People look at you and they go, what happened to you? Why are you so different? Why? Because you're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you're becoming more of a living sacrifice for Jesus. The transformation of our minds from selfish and foolish to even worldly thinking towards God's wisdom, His thinking, it only happens as we fill our minds with the Word of God. Look at Colossians 3:2. Yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. Isn't that tremendous? How do you fill your mind with heaven realities? I mean, I can't see heaven. How do you fill your mind with things above and not things with the earth? All these distractions, how do I keep my mind on heaven? Anybody got an answer? What do you got there, Lorraine? Oh, the Word of God. That helps. What else? Prayer. Praying. Getting in God's presence and getting God's presence into you. Gary. There you go. Walking in love with each other so that you may prove those things are excellent. And we're going to be coming up to that point. We're going to be talking about that. So here we got, get your mind, fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with distractions of the natural realm. Why? Because it will pull you away from your surrender. It'll pull you away from being a living sacrifice and get you into their thinking and get you away from God's thinking. Does it make sense? So simple. It really is simple, all right? Now, dedicated disciples understand that Christ alone, His Word, creates renewal. Write this in renewing. Let's look at the word renewing. How many want to try to say that word? Anakinosis. Did I do good? Did I come close? It means renovation. It means renovation, complete change for the better. So when we renew our minds by the Word of God, we're renovating our old thought life to the new life. That takes time. It does. It doesn't happen overnight. And we're still renovating our minds. And we'll renovate them till the day we get to heaven. We'll keep changing our thinking according to God's Word as we keep getting into God's Word. It'll change. So it's a renovation, complete change for the better. Jesus and His Word alone with the power of the Holy Spirit accomplish eternal change, people, and make ordinary individuals extraordinary, dedicated disciples. That's what it'll do. Number three. A will devoted to God's glory. The Passion says this. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. Well, God, how can I be perfect? You can't, but Jesus can through you. Amen? This will empower you to discern God's will. So, as we renew our mind and we're transforming our lives, that helps us get rid of the distractions and begin to think God's mind. The Bible says you have the mind of Christ. Well, I don't feel like it. Well, it says you got the mind of Christ and we need to use it. The only way we can understand what God's will for our life is by not blending, now listen, not blending into the world's thinking, but allowing God's Word to change our thinking, people. When we do that, we will make right choices and decisions for what He wills for us. That's why a lot of people say, well, I don't know how to make the right choice. Then start getting in God's Word and getting into God, and you'll make the right choice. I know what it's like to make wrong choices. Still do sometimes, right? but I know better. And so when we begin to allow God's word to change us and renew our minds and transform us, we're less distracted. And it's easy for us to know the will of God. Write this down. Dedicated disciples carry a passion for pleasing God. Colossians 1:10. I'm going to finish in a minute here. That you may walk, live, and conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him. I don't know how many times I've failed. I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I want to please you. It's a growing process. How many know that? Oh, God, I messed up. Forgive me. What do? Quit? No. We just keep moving on. Please, Lord, I want to please you. Do you know that the enemy has brought things to me to get me to be tempted to sin? You know what my words to him were? I love the Lord too much, and I want to please him. That's a great way to shut him down. Lord, I love you too much. I don't want to do that. I just want to be pleasing to you. What a reward. Did I used to do that all the time? Are you kidding me? I'd messed up all the time. But my heart is to be pleasing to him, and your heart is to please him in everything, and I know that. Colossians 1:10, that you may walk and live and conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him and desiring to please him in some things. Well, Lord, hold on a second. How many have ever bargained with God? Lord, if you get me out of this mess, I'll serve you. Ha! The next day I was back in the mess again. God, let's talk about this. I'm bargaining with God. Come on, you guys are laughing because you used to do it, didn't you? God, I got a better way for you. How about this? And you know, we got such a loving God. He just looks at us, and I think God sometimes just chuckles at us. You know, God has a sense of humor. He made me. So he's got a sense of humor. But we try to. Well, Lord, I don't want to let this go. I just want to hang on to this because it's my security blanket. You know, when Caleb was a baby, he had a security blanket. Oh, he just wouldn't give that thing up. That thing was ratted. Dirty, filthy. You washed it. Yeah, honey, I was like, yeah, it just started coming apart. So I don't know where we heard this from, but someone said, just clip a little bit off each time. Yeah. The edges were ragged. We had to. She goes, so every once in a while, we just clip a little off. We'd be carrying it around. Flip a little more. Finally, he's carrying this little thing. And finally, he looked at it and just threw it away. It worked. Now, it won't work on every kid, but it worked on him. And I was teasing him when he was here about that. We just kept clipping a little bit more away. Of that security. Isn't that like God? Yeah. We have our little security blankets, and we carry them and say, Lord, I'll please you as best I can, but God just starts clipping away at the blankie. Man, I had a lot of blankies clipped. Candy never had any. I mean, she's just perfect. Oh, my golly. Disciples are committed to God's glory and persistently follow God's will. Listen, at the expense of their own will. Oh, that's a hard one. It's not easy sometimes to just say, Lord, it's hard for me to just let this go. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. But if you do, it'll be the greatest thing you ever did. It'll be the greatest thing you ever did. They understand and desire God's will by obeying that which brings joy to God's heart. Lord, I want to bring joy to you. You know what? That thing will deter you from allowing the world to tell you how to live your life. Amen? That's who you are. That's who God is in you. Because you don't think like they think. You think like God thinks. The world will tell you that God is an angry God. That God is out to get you. Man, you messed up. God's going to just get you for that. That's not my God. My Bible says that it's the love of God and the kindness of God that leads you to repentance. Isn't that amazing? And I got thinking about that, and I thought that was just for people that were going to get saved. It's the kindness, the love of God, and the kindness of God that leads you to repentance. But I believe that God is speaking that about his people. God's kindness. Do you know that God doesn't come down and condemn you and beat on you and all this stuff and say, well, if you'd have done it this way, you would have never been in this mess. But he comes down with kindness and love like he did with the woman caught in adultery. Isn't it amazing? The woman that was caught in adultery, where was the guy? Why didn't they bring, the Pharisees bring him before Jesus? It was the woman. Because the Pharisees had a problem with women. God didn't. You know what he told her? Where's your accusers? Well, Lord, they're not here. Neither do I condemn you. But he did tell her this. I don't condemn you, but don't keep doing it. Go and don't sin anymore. That's what Jesus said. I believe that the love and the kindness of Jesus, of her being there, because the law says that she should have been stoned to death by every right. But if that's the case, then the guy should have been there too. Jesus said, hey, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but I came that the world might be saved. And that's who we are. That's who you are. I didn't come here to condemn you. I came here to tell you how much God loves you. And he wants to change you from glory to glory. But you've got to surrender to him. I can't do it for you. Jesus said this in Luke 22:42, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet, not my will, but always yours be done. What if Jesus would have said, you know what? The world's looking pretty good right now. Man, I won't get persecuted. I'd have less problems. I think I'll just make my kingdom here. Uh-uh. When Jesus said that to the Father, he knew what the will of the Father was. It was his will too. It was to please the Father. Sometimes we wish it would go another way, but we know the way it has to go. But Jesus said, no, Lord, this is not about me. This is about them. It's not about me. It's about them. It's about a love so strong that if you were the only person, God would have died for you. That's how strong that was. It's not about me. So, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As dedicated, disciplined disciples of God, it's our duty to be a living sacrifice, totally acceptable to God. That's our service. That's our worship. If God put the holiness in you, he justified you, he made you righteous, he sanctified you and set you apart, all he's asking for you is to consecrate your life to him and say, yes, Lord, That's all he's asking. You cannot serve God and serve mammon. And mammon is the world. It's part of the world. Aren't you glad that it's only through God's power that we can do and be who we are? And listen, there ain't a thing in me that can do it for God. But because of the Lord in me, I have the willpower, the anointing, and the Holy Spirit to be pleasing to Him. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for men and women that'll say, "Yes, Lord, I surrender to your plan and purpose, not mine. I'm being changed so God can use me to the degree He desires." Yes, I have areas of my life like anybody else that need to be transformed, but because I renew my mind to God's word and spend time in prayer, God is free to work on me and to get me ready for the big job He has designed for my life. Let His will be done, not mine. I know that as I stay open and willing to change, my character is going to change along with it. It's going to be transformed into the image of Jesus so that I complete my task successfully to the glory of God. And you know what? There isn't anybody in this place that hasn't felt at times that, what's the use? But all of a sudden you hear that kind, gentle voice say, there is a purpose, there is a plan, and there is a reason that all this stuff you're going through is designed to bring you out on the other side more victorious, more like Jesus than you've ever dreamed. Amen. Keith, you know that song you did, number two? It fits this perfect. What was the last song you had to play? Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. Let's do that. If we are afraid to be disciples of Christ, we must trust Him and place Him at the very center of our beings. Jesus never comes next. He's always first. Amen? Did this help anybody? God is getting us ready. He's preparing us. And there's not enough people talking about how to get ready for God's coming. Well, I'm not afraid to share that because I got to get there too. Amen? We're in this together. But God wants to change us every day to more glory, to more glory, to more glory. All I got to do is just surrender and say, "Yes, Lord." Amen. The altars are open, people, just for a few minutes, a little bit before 12. Come on up and kneel. You can stand and worship the Lord. You can sit, close your eyes. You can pray whatever the Lord wants you to do.
I feel you so close to me. I can hardly move or breathe. I can feel your presence all around. I fall knees down to the ground. You're the one that really matters. 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 I know that I have been found. The cares of life can't hold me down. 'Cause you're the one I want to please. What matters now is what you think. 'Cause you're the one that really matters. 'Cause you're the one that really matters. Lord Jesus, you're the one that really matters. You're the one that really matters. I know that I've been found. I know that I have been found. The cares of life can't hold me down. You're the one I want to please. What matters now is what you think. You're the one that really matters. 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 Lord Jesus, you're the one. You're the one that really matters. You're, Lord. You're the one that really matters in my life. You're the one that really matters. You're the one that matters. Jeez, I tell you, you're the one that really matters. You're the one that really matters. You're the one that really matters. You're the one that really matters, Lord.
Father, we thank you that we have the privilege and honor to be in your presence this morning, to fellowship with family here, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this unity, this one purpose, one goal, and that is to honor you this morning. Father, today we just ask you that we would be more pleasing to you every day. And Lord, we realize that we have to consecrate ourselves every day. We have to spend time in your word, in prayer, just meditating on you. And as we do, Lord, we know that the Holy Spirit begins to renew us and transform us into the image of Jesus Christ more and more. Now, Father, this morning, if there's areas of our lives we've never surrendered, I pray as your people that we would surrender those areas so that we will have the freedom that we need to be all that you called us to be. Lord, this is not about condemnation, but this is about your love, your kindness, your mercy, and your grace that we have so much needed. Lord, we know that when we fall short, we know that Jesus is there. We know his blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We thank you for that. So this morning, as we leave this place, Lord, let us not leave the same. But let us, during this week, challenge ourselves, Lord, to put some things aside, turn some things off, and begin to take time to allow your Spirit to touch us in a deeper way. Lord, touch your people this morning. I pray that you will strengthen them, gird them up. Lord, that you will be everything they need you to be for them. Thank you for your love, your grace, Thank you, Lord, for saving us, delivering us. Thank you, Lord, for carrying us through and carrying us on. Thank you. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Give the Lord a praise offering. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. Amen and amen and amen. 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 Amen.